Nord, are you grabbing the radiator?
I said I was grabbing the radiator, so that's what I'm gonna do.
All right. Regardless of how physics may actually work, I'd stated that that halves the damage. So, Leah, you had major rolls and such. You take 4 damage. Nord, it is 8. However, it has the damage. You take 4 damage. You get a throwdown, brawn, and your action die. It's a normal throwdown, meaning that if you can get up to 4, then you mitigate all of it by doing what you just did.
Shit.
I'm going to get hurt.
Can I use the ability I have called When Plans Go Awry?
Absolutely.
And I got 1 success, so that brings me to 3 successes.
Yep. You got your proficiencies and your ninja gear. You could technically bid the radiator if you wanted, which would give you a D4.
I'll bid the radiator.
Do it. So that's a D4, since it doesn't have any other traits. Actually, we'll give it a trait. It'll be a D6. It is unpainted.
Unpainted.
Nice.
That is the trait. Actually, every radiator I've ever seen has been painted. Nice. But that's from like in university and stuff.
Yeah. That's true. Well, I failed at that. So I'm going to... I think when... Plans Go Awry takes an utter failure and turns it into a regular failure.
That's true. If you got the upgrades, though.
Yeah, it's got 2. So it's 3. I have 3 successes, and you said it was 4.
Yeah.
I'll do my fabrication.
Mm-hmm.
To reroll.
For the reroll.
And that is a 6. So that's 4 successes.
All right.
Then.
So... as you both are lifted up into the air, the blue light of these gloves filling the room for a moment as you're levitating, almost like an anti-gravity feeling. The hairs on your arms, underarms, the little tiny baby hairs anywhere are burned off. Smells like burnt hair in here. And you drop to the ground as the charge went elsewhere. Somewhere deep down in the earth, there's a...
At that note, I'm going to turn around and just be like, what the fuck?
Does that mean that Nord no longer has crabs?
Tell me how low.
I'm going to go with low.
Holker.
All right. I'm going to roll a D6, and that is low.
Oh, as, yeah, you will find out later. After Rebecca comes and tells you, hey, I have something to tell you. You're like, no, it's cool. Don't worry about it. I took care of it. All right, the action's on you guys.
I'm going to run over and scoop up BB real quick.
Yeah, she's on the opposite side of the chair, smoking. Not actually smoking.
Yeah.
She's over there. She looks up at you. He's looking at you.
Yeah.
Simon.
I'm
yeah, the entirety of your apartment is actually, it's almost steaming, and it's all of the dust and dead skin cells, anything that was in here, has just vaporized, and it smells like hot dirt in your apartment now.
BB. I wouldn't touch your mom while she has those on.
As she, looks over the chair, furrows her brow, and sees, Leah, you're sitting there. You look like a horror victim, covered in blood, your own. here and there an electrical charge will arc off of the hands, as you do not know how to use these. Or maybe this is just what they do. Obviously not, because you've seen people wear them.
Yeah.
There's a massive difference, however. You, everyone seeing Leah, she looks dangerous. And Leah, you can't feel your arms. It's just not like it's numb. Like, your hands are like thrumming with energy. And
I never felt that before.
It's a kind of pain that it's just a constant static in your hands, and maybe from like about midway up your arm down, there's no feeling.
Nord, you're closer to the window there. Leah, you may want to go out the fire escape. I don't know if you could even get in the elevator.
Just open the doors for me. It's fine.
Well, every room we walk by, you're going to shock the shit out of.
I'm clearly not.
You think I should shock the fire escape instead?
Well, it's at least not gonna like destroy the elevator, or at least you're only ruining one row of apartments. Well, even at that, she's got to walk down the hallway.
I guess open the window then.
Yeah, Tony, as you walk in, you see Leah has apparently reached her final form. has gone Super Saiyan level 2.
All for instinct, Leah.
Are you wielding those gloves now? Or are they like, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm going to zap the shit out of somebody or something. I don't know.
Go ahead.
What happens? Hold on. Can you take those gloves off?
I mean, I'm beginning to think there's a reason that they did not.
So, what happens when you gotta use the bathroom?
I don't know. We can worry about that problem later.
I'm gonna look at Nord real quick and be like, don't let Tony get the other pair.
Nord grabs the other gloves and like throws them in a bag.
You do.
Well, I'm assuming my phone's now destroyed because it was right in front of me.
Everything that's electronic in this room is fucking fried.
Glad I unplugged everything.
Actually,
probably
the whole
building.
There's a lot of some electrical shit is burned. Yeah, pretty much anything. If it's just mechanical, it's fine. But if it had a charge on it, it's just been shorted the fuck out. So your microwave's done.
You
unplugged shit. You unplugged.
He unplugged the beta deck. So
yeah, that's right.
Well, I guess we're going to have to drive to that hotel. I'm glad we brought your car back, Leah. You can take that.
Okay. Well, will somebody open up the window?
I'm not getting close to Leah.
It's around 2 p.m.
All right. I will make a wide berth and go open the window.
You do.
We'll meet you downstairs.
Okay.
And I'll go.
Maybe if we give you a solid wood object you could hold in the glove and maybe like touch buttons and stuff.
That would help. Deep players.
10-foot bone.
Actually, no. I got one right here. I got an object. I give you, and I pull out, and I give you my baton.
Is it wooden?
Yeah.
It's a Felix, huh?
Well, so again, I'll restate. Leah is, she looks like she's an extra in The Walking Dead. She has blood running down her nostrils and out of her mouth a little bit and out of her ears. She's got a burst vessel in her eye. Her hair is literally sticking up like roller dome style, like, right? Blackened marks. She's covered in the dust of and chalk of drywall. And every so often, an arc of static shocks off of her. By the way,
I'm going
she is
to
not inconspicuous.
I'm going to grab a dish towel and and throw it to her and be like, yeah, if you may want to wipe yourself down some.
I go to catch it. No,
yeah, you can catch it. You can catch it. You okay, can use so your motor control works. You just can't really feel, and everything feels like pins and needles.
So nothing which will eventually. When I grab it?
No, you just grab it.
Okay.
You will start taking negatives and conditions eventually, just from the pain and such. Like it actually does hurt.
Gotcha.
What was the name of the hotel again your husband was at?
Yeah, just in case you don't make it. Because we need to save these girls.
What was his name, Will?
The name of the hotel? It's called the Love Inn.
The Love Inn.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was something like that, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Come on now. I'm fucking funny. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Love Inn Motel. It's great.
Here's the options, guys. You can ride with me in my Buick that smells like puke. Or you can ride in the electric Corolla.
Well, I mean, I still have my van, but I kind of like where it's parked. I like my stuff.
I'll take a puke.
I think I'll sit in the pukey. Unless we can figure out a way to get these gloves off. I mean, I'm not an electrician, so like, I don't know.
It's nothing personal.
Can you just like take your hands and like maybe, you know, try to slip throw them down and see if they'll just pop off or something?
She wanted them all
in one go.
Why is she gonna take them off now?
I don't know. It seems dangerous. I mean, I don't know.
I kind of want to do it just because I suspect something that's gonna happen, but I don't know.
What do you do?
It seems like she's carrying a nightmare. And like she'll turn into Godzilla and like destroy the city. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
What you do?
Leo will kind of sarcastically go, "Oh yeah, let's see if that works," and she'll throw her hands forward.
Where you been?
My apartment.
I will bid Steadfast.
Oh, you should bid Simon's apartment.
So, the goal here, the intention is to throw the gloves off your hands. That's what you're trying to do. I mean, I know that's not what you were trying to do, but I'm saying like you actually have to have an intention for the bid.
I don't think Leah will think it'll work. She'll probably just kind of do it sarcastically. Like, oh, we'll see if this works.
Oh, so you're not actually trying to do it. Yeah. So then when you're bidding something, you're trying to change the fiction.
Okay, gotcha.
What are you trying to do? Are you trying to activate the gloves and shock the shit out of something, or?
No, not particularly.
You're just trying to see what will happen.
Yeah, let me. Leah's basically, at this point, just being like, you know, in regards to what she's actually doing, she's just sarcastically like, oh yeah, that'll work, you know.
Okay, is she doing so forcefully?
Not any more forcefully than Nora did. It's like, you know,
some static shoots off. You got the Velcro on and sort of half gesture, but nothing really happens. Which means
let's see. I mean, is there any? I don't know. Should I even take them off at this point?
You wanted them on. You have them on.
True.
I don't know. It just seems really dangerous to me. I mean. Are you feeling okay? I mean, do you feel? Do you feel like tingly or sensations of grandeur? Or
I mean,
you know,
my arms that... feel, you know, like vibrating. Does that count?
You hear a knock on the door.
I don't think Leah should answer it. I mean,
I'm gonna go look out the peephole.
See Rebecca Foster.
I gotta ask Leah. Serious question.
Okay.
If you have those gloves on, and you find your husband at the Love Inn, are you gonna be able to restrain yourself?
What? I just want to give my wonderful husband a loving hug.
Mariah looks up at you. You wouldn't hurt Daddy, would you?
No, probably not. I might you know, try and shock him straight or whatever.
But... I just don't know how. I don't know how I've become the voice of reason here.
Ding, 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 ding. Hey, is anyone there? I can hear you guys. Open the door, Simon.
Rebecca, it's not safe here. Actually, go down to the fancy.
She frowns.
Go down to the fancy and have yourself a meal.
We go eat some shit.
She kind of is Nord in there.
Yes he is. I'll open the door a little bit and I'll be like,
she puts her foot in. What's going on? I heard an explosion.
Yeah, I told you it's not safe in here.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah, so I would get out of the building for a little while.
What? Do you have another gun? What's going on?
No, it's just bad decisions. Just get out of the building for a little while and we will
he will actually lean around the corner and just say, hey Rebecca.
Oh my god, what happened to your right. face?
I'm gonna bid something. I'm gonna bid this is about the dumbest thing. I'm gonna bid sleight of hand, which is a trait that I have.
Uh-huh.
And to activate Kobayashi Maru. Yeah.
And I'm gonna get out of a no situation. Yep.
I'm gonna try and like pull the, you know, use the fabric in my hand so I don't have a connection to the, you know, I'm gonna pull my sleeves up and try and grab the Velcro off and pull them off of Leah's hands.
Okay. So the scene is Rebecca Foster is saying, are you okay? And she'll look over at Simon. Okay, I'll go down to the fancy. That's fine. Are you paying for it?
Yeah. And I'll give her a 10.
I feel okay, like, well, she should be witnessing this.
Well, tell Nord that I said hi, I suppose. She kind of like looks around. And she gets a couple steps away, and you think she's going to leave. She turns back around and then quietly says, "The cops are everywhere on the streets. Apparently, they found a body, or more than one." And she could just kind of let it linger there for a second. And then eyes shift and she turns around as you hear. So Nord, you're dropping Kobayashi Maru.
I'm the going to say, be safe.
Yeah,
as she
goes
out.
Kobayashi Maru, the way that it works is you ask the Arbiter basically a way to get out of a no-win situation.
I feel like that's where we're at.
And the issue is, there is a way, because it's the Kobayashi Maru, but one, it's not necessarily, it is definitely not assured. Two, it's not necessarily a good thing. But it's better than the alternative, is the idea. So, for example, Kobayashi Maru, you're all ejected out into space. Hey, I bid it. Can we get out of this? It's like, yes, you can, but in the end, it's going to really suck. And you might fail. So,
yeah, well,
this...
I mean, my teammate has two nuclear weapons on her hands.
Yeah, yeah, that's a thing. So, you have tried the radiator, which did have some kind of effect. So, you've learned something about that. You know that somehow these gloves can be mitigated. Ostensibly, there's a safe way to put them on and take them off. Or, as Leah was saying, at least to put them on, perhaps. Nord, your mind might go to what you have seen of the detectives. And a couple things pop in your head. Perhaps. One, they were able to take a lot more damage than a normal person. Obviously, something is different about them. You've seen them do certain things that people aren't supposed to do, and Nord being an apothecary who's interested in weird science, you know that supposedly there's technology, there's elixirs and such that can bolster one's body. That could be one of the things. Simon, I don't know if Nord saw all the pictures or not. Regardless,
One of
the pictures was of a box that had this light coming from it and had all these weird tubes and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
It perhaps could have something to do with it. These are the thoughts that run through your head, right? They're not necessarily the answer. Here's the Kobayashi Maru. The surefire way of getting them off of her hands is to take them off of her hands. And you can attempt to mitigate that as much as possible. The problem is, you don't have the necessary device to do it. So, you can mitigate it, but you got to take the heat.
Absolutely. I mean, I presume that that's the case. It's just these things, as soon as they're out in the real world, and Nord is as much of a drug addict as he is, he believes that people should be safe.
Are you saying this to them?
Yeah. So,
okay.
So
you're actually telling them that right now.
We can't have these nuclear weapons on our hands. And I don't know how they work, and it's frightening to me. So we got to figure out a way, if it means attaching her to a microwave or finding this device. I mean,
Leah will sort of giggle to herself. And, you know, and wiggle her fingers and say, "Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening."
Absolutely. And I mean, I think we need to send Mariah away. Maybe stop Rebecca in the
hallway. I am tired of being sent away, she says. But maybe...
These things are...
She looks at Leah.
I mean...
Mariah, do you want to go with Rebecca to the fancy? I'm asking if you want.
If it makes it easier on everyone, then yeah.
Well, Lou, we can take you to your father.
So this is up to you guys. You can bid Mariah to go either way.
I think it seems like Rebecca knows her dad, so maybe just do that.
Well, we were going to go talk to her dad.
Well, maybe she can call us and we can resolve this when she finds him.
Decision's on you guys.
I still think we need to... We are running out of time.
I mean,
Maybe we need to split the party and some of us go talk to her.
That's fine. I'll go with Rebecca. I'm cool with that.
Okay,
Mariah,
okay,
you want to go
on,
with me?
You guys go and find my husband and, you know, and you take Mariah with you. Then I will go and find Loretta Lavon. And, you know, have a talk with her.
Do either of you two want to go with her?
No, I don't. Because... And I say this... even with you wearing those gloves, Leia... I think you're gonna do a little more than talk.
Oh well, yeah. Yes, I'm going to sit her down and have a nice chat with her over a cup of tea, and she's going to tell me everything about her cult and ritual sacrifice.
After you show her what you'll do, after you give her the juice.
I feel like what's important here is that we don't do more damage than we stop.
Look, I'll go with you.
Actually, hold on 1 second. And Leah will look at the gloves and it's hard to show you what I'm gonna do. But like, so he like, I'm assuming that the Velcro is like in this area of the hand or is on top. Doesn't matter. I don't know. Anyway, Leah will sort of like grab both at the same time and try and open them up. I don't know.
I gotta ask.
Everybody, make your reaction rolls. And Leah, what do you bid to do this?
Oh, this one I'll bid unscathed. There we go. That works. I like it. That's kind of
That is some funny shit. Oh, it's good.
What are we? Oh, what aspect are we rolling?
Bron or Grace? You know, which you're at the door, you could potentially get out.
Yeah, I'm the...
You could do Grace if you're jumping out the window or something. If some
I'm jumping out the door when I see this start to go down. And
I'm pretty much curling into the smallest ball possible.
And I've got BB right beside me because I was just asking her that question and we were thinking about sitting there with Becca. So BB's right beside me, so I'm gonna grab her and jump out the door.
Okay. What about you, Tony?
I'm gonna try and follow Simon out the door. Cause
all right, so this would be Grace. Broke.
Yeah.
So it'd be throw down Grace and your action. And Nord, are you just taking it on chin? Or are you trying to dive over a couch, or what are you doing?
Yeah, no, dive over the couch, and like as soon as I see her like move her hands, just get around the corner or right. make some distance, because I would presume that Nord is the closest one to her and that there's no way to get away. So
you got Grace, you've got Bronn. If you're trying to like do more of a physical thing,
Grace is kind of acrobatics, get away, get small.
All right, and Leo, would you bid to attempt to remove these guys?
Scathe first.
Okay, so unscathed. So go ahead and throw down.
Okay, and then I'm going to go ahead and also bid Bloody to activate Master at Arms.
Probably a good idea. Yeah. So the aspect that you're rolling here, I think you could roll Mind or Grace would be fine.
Okay.
You could make a case for Wits too. It's just up to you. But I need to know which aspect it is.
The only one that's not a four is Bronn, so everything else is all the same.
Okay. So which one are you going to do? Because that'll actually determine what happens.
I'll do Mind on this one, probably.
Yeah, okay. That's the right choice, actually. it's the lowest of the thresholds. Alright, so the threshold to remove these gloves safely is 5. Okay? So you need 6 successes to get a clean success on it. That's to do them safely. Regardless, you got a really cool technique, so we'll drop it down by 1. So the threshold is 4.
Okay.
That's to remove them completely safely, and you figured out the fucking Chinese finger trap of the gloves to get them on and off type thing.
Okay, so
which I think is kind of cool.
I'll go ahead and re-roll that. Let's see. They got 1 success, but... Okay, so that's 4 total. And let's see. I might...
That is limbo at present.
Yeah... I'm just worried about re-rolling the other one because I only have 2 more. I'll try and re-roll the other one real quick.
Okay.
Just in case it gets higher than the... Oh, good. Cool. Okay, so now it's 5.
5 successes. All right, what did the rest of you get? 3? Yep.
I got 1.
Okay, I'm thinking threshold 2 to get out of dodge.
I got 1. But I'm gonna use my movement proficiency. I know, I got you.
I'm actually going to use a breath.
As a Tony, you do a fierce kegel and leap out the door.
So I'm standing there. The doors open a little bit where I was talking to Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Mariah's down below me. So I throw the door open real quick. I scoop her up, and I take my suit and put it over her because I bid my suit because I needed an extra success.
Nice.
And so then I take her and I run out into the hallway with her as quick as possible.
As Tony, you got limbo. You make it out the door, but... In classic fashion, as you were gauging the distance and the size of the portal, but then Simon flung the door open. As it hits the wall, comes back, and you clock your head on it. I don't know if anybody's ever done this. I've done this. As you run into the door, and you there's this, but you tumble out into the hallway. Nord, what'd you get? You are muted. Motherfucker.
I did. I muted myself. And I muted to say that I'm going to... This is a reaction, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Can I... But we can bid abilities?
Oh, yeah. Reaction, all it is, it's essentially you get to do a normal throwdown, but you don't have to bid to do it.
Right. And... Can I bid jujitsu for an extra dice?
Is that an ability?
Yeah, it's an ability.
No, the jujitsu would give you, if you have upgrades, it'd give you successes.
Okay, never mind.
The only thing that gives you extra dice are specific abilities that literally say they do, or ninja gear.
Well, I got some swagger in my brown suit, but I think I put my brown suit around a dead girl, so I don't really have that swagger anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
those,
just gonna
those...
sprint.
Yep.
An expression to reroll.
Yeah, do it.
So, yeah, that's one success.
So, all right. Leah, as you do this maneuver, pulling off the gloves, they don't shock the ever-loving God out of you when you do it. You safely are able to remove them. However, you have another condition. An other condition is what it's called on you, which is dead arms. Basically, you just don't have any feeling in your arms. So when it comes to gray stuff dealing with dexterity, it's going to be a higher threshold. Gotcha. As you remove the gloves and there's an explosion of energy, but it's not the electricity. Instead, it's just sort of a massive burst. As stuff falls off the shelves, nothing breaks. Nord, you're running as the energy lifts you up off the ground and you kind of crumple down to your knees in front of the door, halfway in, halfway out. You take no damage.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what happens. Just... maybe a window cracks. Rebecca Foster turns back around. What the fuck is going on in there, Simon?
I don't know.
Nord, what are you doing?
Defusing bomb?
I'm leaving. She turns around and fast walks out of the building.
I think the bomb is defused.
She comes back around. Oh, and by the way, I have crabs.
I probably don't anymore because I got electrocuted to fuck.
Fuck you. Mariah comes out of Simon's cloak. She has crabs? I didn't see any crabs.
For dinner. She had crabs for dinner last night.
Oh, I love
it. It was very expensive.
I'll give both of you a narrative point. This is a good improv. Good. Okay. We montage. We're out of the dread. What are you all doing?
So let's... now Leah, that everything...
Leah will fold the, you know, put the gloves back together like Nord had them, and put them in her pocket. That's what she'll do. Yeah. She'll come out the door and sort of, you know, waggle them in the air, and it's like, all right, I've input the deactivation code for the nukes, and she'll stick them in her pocket.
I want to ask Leia, those gloves, before we go down and do some, so before you do some really bad stuff, like I know you want to do, possibly to your husband and quite possibly to other people who might show up and try and stop us from finding whatever it is that we want to find. I got to ask you something. Do those gloves fit?
Yes. I think.
Oh, okay. We'll have to be careful then.
Leah, at this point, Leah will actually take the rag that Simon gave her and wipe her face and stuff of all the blood that was on it.
Yep.
Still, probably.
Grab me the dossier real quick and let's get out of my apartment.
You get the dossier, you pick up all the papers that are just strewn around everywhere.
Yeah.
So now that I'm no longer atomic, anybody want to go with me to Loretta Lavon?
So we still want to split up?
I think it's best if I stay away from my husband for now.
Okay, I will go. I'll take the dossier and go talk to your husband and take Mariah with me. Does anybody want to go with me, or does anybody want to go with Leah?
Yeah, I'd love to go with you. I think that sounds good. I kind of want to talk to... I want to see what made the spark between these two.
Well, obviously it was her gloves.
I suppose I will... I think I'm going to go with Simon.
All right. I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Okay, so let's meet back at the Fancy in 2 hours.
That works for me. That's long enough.
Okay.
As we montage.
As everybody's kind of stepping out, Nord is going to bid Opium Addict. And like,
oh, are you going to drop out of the montage into the dread?
Well, I mean, he's going to take a hit of
oh, you don't need a pipe.
He's got
yeah, pop. You don't need it.
Yeah. He's just going to take a hit off his
little
dose up after all that.
Yeah, that's okay.
I mean, just a hit.
Yeah. You, montage style, you absolutely smoke the peace pipe. And it seems well worth it. As you guys get into the Buick and you start off toward the Jefferson Corridor and the Love Inn, which you will make it to. Outside of the Love Inn, adjacent to it, or I should say across the side street, is the Coffee Stain Coffee House or Coffee Stain Diner.
Hey guys, anybody want some coffee?
It's packed. It's at this point, by the time you get down there, it's about 2:30. Make note of that. And yeah, the Love Inn, you know, it's one of those motels that they always have like a third of the parking lot full. Maybe because people are just parking there. It's pretty trashy looking motel. The sign is a big heart with like a car driving into it, and it kind of looks like from afar a broken heart because I'm fucking funny. And you guys, what are you doing? It's montaging, but you get there.
Nord, if you want to go get it to go real quick, and we'll wait for you before we go in.
Do they make to-go coffee in 1982?
Yeah, they got styrofoam.
Yeah.
Okay, styrofoam. Yeah.
No, I'm going in. I'm going to get some coffee as well after what I just seen.
I'll get a jumbo coffee. I need a minute.
All right, as you guys go and you go to the Coffee Stain Diner and get some lunch.
As they take that opportunity, as they head that way, I'm going to be like, come on, Mariah, let's go.
And you and Mariah go where?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna stand there. I'm gonna stand there, leaned up against my Buick, and talk to Mariah and be like, "So you've been here before, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is you've been here with your father. Do they know you here?
Well, they know me there. As she points at the coffee stain.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I kind of go from diner to diner.
Well,
she says with no. Sorry, go on.
We'll go in here in a few minutes and be like, and ask for your father, and you'll just talk about. So that way they know that we're here for your father. You're the reason that.
Did your mom and dad get along?
Damn, that's a loaded question.
I mean, you guys are boomers.
As much as a 50s parents did, you know. Dad came home. Mom always had a martini for him. Ready
it's a
for
martini.
It's a fancy drink. I don't go much by them anymore these days. But It was a lot of him reading the newspaper and mom doing housework. Huh. They never really fought, but I don't know what happened after hours.
She just kind of looks at you waiting for you to finish. Because, you know, she's a kid.
Yeah. I mean, do your parents fight a lot?
They don't really talk a lot.
Sounds like my parents. They just go through the motions and do their own thing.
Hmm. She just sort of folds her arms and leans against your Buick, too.
Yeah.
I think Dad, I want some coffee. Of... What? She looks up.
Oh, Dad had a lot of business trips, and he'd go.
And my dad does business trips too. Yeah, that's just like mine.
Yeah. So who knows? He could have had a hotel somewhere that he went to talk to people with. In, I don't know. They're both gone now, so I will never know the answers to that.
Where'd they go?
They've passed years ago.
She kind of looks around past. Oh. Yeah. And she gets quiet. Leah, what do you do?
I drive to Annabelle's house and, you know,
in
I go
Corolla.
Up to the...
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And then I you know, I go up to the front door and...
When you get to the house, you notice there are several cars out front. They're all really nice, like Beamers and shit. And there's like a Jaguar.
Cool, yo. At this point, I will recalculate a little bit and, I'll get my, I'll actually sit in the car for a second and do like a, you know, quick check to make sure I have, my gun fully loaded and all of my vials of the medicine in my pocket, and the gloves in my pocket.
All right. So you're in the beat up Corolla, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You note, It just like going into any really rich neighborhood or like club or anything, that what you're wearing and what you're driving does not match. It's by the time you get there, it's probably like, I don't want to get you guys too off on time, but realistically it'd be a little after 2:30. And you know, it's the middle of the afternoon, so there's people out and about. I mean, it's not like throngs of people, but it's a cul-de-sac neighborhood of rich people. You'll see some groundskeepers here and there, you know, cutting back the foliage and shit. And a woman in a bright purple jumpsuit, swishing, power walking down the street. It's pretty good weather, by the way. It's cool outside despite there being a lot of sun and some cloud cover, really high clouds, and they seem to be moving rather quickly, as in the there's a lot of wind, but not down on the surface. Yeah, as you check, you have all your ammunition and what you do.
So at this point, now that I've seen that there's more cars there, yeah. I'll drive on down the street and park the car somewhere off to the side that's, you know, less conspicuous.
That same house that we were at before.
Yeah. Well, then Leah will get out of the car and basically trek cross country, you know, trying to stay.
Well, how far away are you parking?
I don't know. Because
this is suburban sprawl neighborhood, right?
Yeah. I'd probably look for something that's, again, out of the way. That's like about, you know, a block away, no more than that.
Okay, so you're just going, you know, down the way. It's not cross country. Like, there's none of that. There might be a golf course.
Are going, like, along the street.
I'm sorry?
Or a golf course. Like what I'm saying, what I mean by cross country is in the sense that I'm not going to be walking down the street. I'll walk through people's backyards or whatever.
Okay, sure. What do you bid to do this?
That I will bid Cloak and Dagger.
Okay, so as you're going through really rich people's backyards with their privacy fences and such, you've been in rich people neighborhoods. We're gonna make you throw down on this. The threshold is not too high. It's gonna be a threshold of 2. And the stakes are this. If you don't make it, essentially you get into one of... God, I have done this too many times. You get into one of the backyards and you're like, what the fuck? And the privacy fence is like 12 feet tall. And, you know, it's got like little spiky things. And you realize, shit, I'm not going to be able to go through this person's backyard. Also, they're rich, so they have dogs. It's one of those things. Limbo is you're able to get by... You're likely getting seen by somebody. And then if you succeed, somehow you're able to find a path through. And maybe someone saw you, but they didn't immediately call the cops.
Gotcha. All right.
It's like the end of Ferris Bueller.
Yes.
Trying to beat the school bus home.
That's right.
I think that if we have anybody looking at our podcast or YouTube or even the Twitch right now, they should like, subscribe, and share.
Oh yes.
If you would definitely comment, because any words is helpful.
That's right. We need 100 followers. We're 10 away.
Would this be something that Master at Arms would be applicable to?
No.
Okay.
I mean, unless you're using a gun. Or a weapon of some sort. Like a rocket launcher, you blow down the privacy fences. Yeah.
Well, then I will use a movement thing and try and reroll this. Hopefully. Oh, cool. Okay, so now I have, I got a 10, and then so I have 3 successes. And I'll take back the Cloak and Dagger, because I'm probably going to need that.
All right. With 3 successes, bidding Cloak and Dagger, you see these fences, you're able to scale them, jump over, you hear some dogs as, just by luck... whoever walks the dogs, because you know rich people have people that do that, pull the dogs out, and maybe they whine a little bit sniffing you, but they're out of the backyard as you run by, and you'll get to the Butte's household. The back, if you remember, the backyard is very long, and it has that gate. The gate is around 12-ish feet tall. It's difficult to climb. But it's a wrought iron gate, and it has little spears at the top. You could climb it if you wanted. It's just difficult. You know that there's a back entrance through the woods. You have to go all the way about a quarter mile or an eighth of a mile or so, and then go in the back way, or you can go around the front of the house.
I will, like, from where I'm at, can I go, like, is like there a window on the side of the house that I could go to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
there's
a basement. There's a little half moon window you'd have to shimmy through. If you leap up and do a little bit of climbing, there's a first floor window that's there. But you'll have to do a little bit of parkour to get up there.
Okay. Well, first of all, what I'm gonna do is I will I'll go to like the closest window to me. And peek in and see, you know, if I can see anybody or what I can even see from that
window. You look in the basement or on the first floor?
Probably start with the basement.
Because you looking at the basement, well, it's rather dark, of course. There's a little bit of light. Maybe it's coming from a pantry or something. As you look down there, this massive room. It looks somewhat disheveled. Lots and lots and lots of boxes, crates, and long foot lockers. Or are those coffins? It's kind of hard to tell. It looks like there's some kind of netting, like almost like a not aquatic, that's the wrong word, for sailing and sailing equipment, perhaps. that's the first thing you see. There is a shadow moving that's being cast from whatever mud room or whatever's down there. Perhaps it's a laundry room. But you don't see anyone particularly. And that shadow is not necessarily human-shaped.
Gotcha. So after I do that, look at that window, I'll move on to probably like one of the first floor windows and see if I can see anybody in there.
So to do such, you'll have to bid to get a vantage point.
Okay, that's fine.
Because the window is actually like up.
Gotcha. So in that regard, I will bid seasoned.
Yeah, as you bit seasoned, you're able to sort of shimmy your way up, get your footing, and pull yourself. There's a little, we'll say a little tiny plant balcony that has a little rim on top. If you know what I'm talking about, like here's the window, it's shut, but they could open it up and have vines and potted plants and shit just outside. Maybe one person could stand outside of it and do the Rapunzel thing. As you're able to put your elbows up. It's a little bit difficult because, again, your hands are just buzzing, still tingling from before, as you're able to look in these French windows. So two windows, it's closed. You can tell it's locked, or latched, okay. I should say. And you see that massive kitchen from before. You can see directly into where the front door is and a little bit of a living room. There's a fire going. You see Loretta Lavon with her back to you in the kitchen chopping up something with a big butcher knife. Just lock, 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 lock. And she's talking to someone. You can kind of hear her voice. It seems like there's perhaps two or three people in the other room. Since you've been seasoned, you'll see just barely one of them. A striking middle-aged man wearing all black, kind of a tuxedo-looking dude. He's got a monocle and salt and pepper hair. He has the little stash, like the Colonel Sanders stash, and a little goatee.
Okay. And those are the only two people I see currently?
Yeah, the vantage point is such. You know that there's at least another person in there. Maybe you can see their legs or something. Seems like another man.
Gotcha. Let's see. I'll probably go ahead and I'll drop back down to ground level. And then let's see here. And there's a third story as well.
Yeah, it's a massive house. There's a second story and a third story with dormers and stuff.
On any of the windows up to the second or third story, is there like a drain pipe or anything like that from the roof?
Yeah,
or?
Sure.
Okay. Well, in that case, I will plan. I will go ahead and climb the drain pipe up to one of the third story windows.
Well, have you since you already bid seasoned? That's good, but you're gonna have to throw down for this. Yeah. To make it up quietly and without any mishap, it is a threshold 3. However, you got some tangly fingers.
True.
Now, this isn't like precision climbing, but threshold 3, we won't raise it. We're just going to raise the stakes. If you don't make it, you fall off.
There.
And you fall off when you're like the third floor.
Yeah, of course.
So we're going to do this encounter. We're going to wrap this up, and then we'll have one last scene with you guys, and that'll be it for tonight.
Damn. Okay.
Like and subscribe. Do the Patreon.
Alright, screw it. I'll just, there's no good way to do this. So,
you got breath for limbo too. Remember that?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm just trying to, I'm trying to rationalize what makes the most sense here. But I'll probably go ahead and do that and go to limbo.
Alright, so drop a breath. You're going to pull some muscles doing this, which is essentially what limbo is. Your hands are just not working as you stick your hand into, like, you jam it into maybe a part where the mortar has weakened. You see blood pop down. You probably cracked a few nails, and you wrench yourself up onto this little landing. As you look at your hand, it's, you know, the nails are kind of fucked up. You pulled some muscles. And we'll say that it wasn't particularly quiet. You don't know if anyone heard it, but maybe like you kicked over a potted plant. It was like on the ground. So you're at the third floor window. There's a little balcony. Again, French windows into this massive bedroom up here. One of many.
Yeah. When I look into the bedroom, do I see anybody in there?
Nope. You see a cat.
Okay. Well, in that case, I will go ahead and get onto the balcony and try and open up the doors.
Yeah, you're in luck as this door's not locked. This cat, completely black, except for like a little tuft of white hair on its chest, as it looks up at you with these big yellow eyes. It kind of like almost frowns at you.
That Leo will actually say that to the cat, just very quietly, though.
It twitches its ear. And then looks away and yawns.
Leah will make sure she didn't get any blood or anything on the door handles.
Okay. Do you wipe that off?
Yeah. Well, I actually probably use my shirt to try and, you know, actually clean it off. And then close them behind me. Start walking through the house. I'll probably go ahead and head straight out the bedroom door. Is it open or closed?
It's open.
Okay.
You hear voices trailing from down below.
And I'll as I'm walking along, I'll pause every, like, let's say, you know, 5-10 steps to you know, wait a second and see if I hear any activity up on this level at all.
You don't hear anything up here. You know, it's in middle of the day, afternoon, so Annabelle's probably not here. She's probably in school, because I believe it's like a Thursday.
Okay. Well then, I will. When I get out into the hallway, is the stairs pretty obvious? Is where they are?
So the stairs, it's a massive house. You can tell it probably has more than one stairwell, or staircase. This one goes in the box pattern down to the second floor, and then down, widening out down into the first floor.
Gotcha. So I will go ahead and go to the top of the stairs. And wait a second to see if I can hear the conversation going on downstairs.
You can't really make it out. You hear a man, two different men talking, and a woman, which you recognize Loretta Lavon's voice, as she's just very snooty, and there's some laughing and such, and you hear the the chopping sound echoing.
Okay. Then I will, what kind of, are these stairs like wood, or are they some fancy, like
marble or something?
They're carpeted. Okay, perfect. All right. So I will start going down the stairs, sticking to the outside of the stair, you know, tread, you know, go to move down to the second floor and
you get down to the second floor.
See if I can see anything.
Again, you're not able to hear them very well. You could catch certain things. I won't NPC with myself.
No, fair enough.
The conversation seems to be about tonight, and they're preparing for it. It's going to be a good one, as long as it's not messed up. They don't say anything in particular, anything damning, but yeah, they talk about Levi, and how she's a very good singer. They talk about the last time and how it was almost ruined by that bitch. This is Loretta Levon talking, and that's about it. And then they're just, it's just sort of banter and unintelligible stuff. As you're on the second floor, there is movement in one of the large rooms around the corner and down the hallway. You hear perhaps a maid putting things together.
Okay. On the side of the house that's like, okay, I guess I should say between me and let's see how to, I'm trying to build a 3D house in my head for a second. Is there a,
what are you trying to accomplish? Tell me that.
So is there a room that has like, is there a room across from me, I guess I should say, that has a like a room that is facing out or on the side of the house that's toward the backyard?
As far as you can tell, yeah.
Okay, so I will.
This is a mansion. Cross. It's got plenty of rooms.
Okay, I'm just trying to. So I will try, you know, try and go basically from the staircase to a room
bid?
On that side of the house. What am I bidding? I will bid, since I got it back earlier, I will bid precise again.
All right. As you sneak around, you avoid the Hispanic maid you had seen before. As she, it's a spy versus spy moment. As she comes out and you like post up, wait for her. She unfolds some stuff. She's singing some song from her childhood or whatever. She drops some things, maybe like a bottle of cleaner rolls off, and she curses as it rolls by your foot. There's a tense moment as she comes up and reaches down. But you having your bid, you know to keep still because, you know, maids can't see things that don't move. So she walks back, puts her stuff back up, and goes into the one of the rooms. As you duck into one of the back rooms, it's actually a more of a sitting room. It's a narrow room. It's a bit of a library on both sides with those cool ladders that move back and forth, that roll on the rolly things. And there's a shaded window. It'd be like two windows that meet at a little apex. And you're up in the trees, of course, because it's the second floor. You can kind of look down and see where the garden extends out. Outside, despite it being afternoon, it looks very dark because it's of the canopy of trees.
Gotcha.
Books all over the place, little coffee table, cigars sitting there in a little humidora, all sorts of different bits and pieces. There'll be a globe that opens up, and it has like all kinds of brandies and bourbons and stuff like that.
Okay. In the globe that has, is there anything like a brandy or whatever, or like a plastic bottle?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so, but maybe. Anyway, okay. Is there, I'm assuming because it's the rich and fancy house, there's probably some kind of like paperweight kind of shit.
Yeah, sure.
Around.
Yeah. In fact, actually on, one of the desks, a little tiny desk over there that has the green lamp, you know, that you pull the little drawstring, there'll be a human skull as a paperweight.
All right, cool. So I will actually, quite, you know, as quietly as I can, open up the door that faces the backyard.
Oh, so you're in the second floor.
Or not the door, sorry. The window that faces the backyard.
Tell me higher or low.
Low.
Yeah, you're able to do it.
Okay.
It has one of those little crank things as you're like, and it opens up this way.
Okay. there's that water fountain back there, right?
Yeah, pretty far back, but yes.
Okay. Is there anything like closer to the house? Like some kind of yard?
Not in terms of water, no.
Just some kind of like lawn ornament or something. Something solid.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the path and a few statues and such.
Okay. So I'm gonna pick up that skull and basically try and chuck it at one of the statues or whatever is closest, you know, that'll make a lot of noise.
You do. We're gonna move to the boys. You guys are getting afternoon lunch. You got big gulps of coffee, got the bacon and eggs going. Mm-hmm. Lovely woman. Forget her name.
Do I get a pip if I can tell you what her name is?
Yes, you do.
Because it'll just take me 1 second. Her name is Emma Jorgensen.
Yeah, that's it. You get a pip. As Emma Jorgensen. Jorgensen, she's so nice. Outside, you see Mariah and Simon leaned up, very picturesque against the Buick, talking. What y'all doing?
I'm going to get a coffee, and I might ask Emma if she recognizes that little girl standing outside.
It's a freaky fucking face. She looks out. Oh yeah. Yeah.
She's, you see your dad around?
She just kind of side eyes you. Nor do you realize rather quickly that Emma may look simple, but she's actually quite shrewd. Why? Why are you asking?
Well, I got her daughter and I wanna.
She just kind of looks at you straight on. You got her daughter.
Dad. Well, I mean, I don't have her. I mean, she's with us. I'm not. She's not kidnapped. I mean, you can go and talk to her if you want.
Couple people around, because this place is packed, look over with like eggs in their mouth and hash browns like, what the fuck?
No. We're just like, we've been babysitting and we're returning. You know, we're supposed to see her dad. So, like, we've been hanging out with Leah. I don't know if you met Leah, and I described Leah
to
her.
Oh, I know Leah. Yeah, she's a pretty lass.
Well, she's a good friend of ours, and we just...
Yeah.
We've been with her, and she's like, can you please take, you know, our daughter to her dad? And, you know, honestly, I'd rather be doing some other stuff, but... Here we are,
kinda,
babysitting.
You see her kind of like... looking at you strangely. What do you bid?
Well, I bid yellow journalism because I'm a fucking liar.
As she looks at you, and Nord, you bidding yellow journalism, you can tell that this woman is not, you've not fooled her. She knows something, one or two things that maybe you know, maybe you don't know, that doesn't add up.
Well, you can believe whatever you want.
Well, let me finish. She doesn't believe you. But you can also tell she's got a lot of tables and she clearly doesn't know Leah that well. And she doesn't want any fucking trouble. She does not want to get involved in whatever the fuck is going on. As she goes, well, the last time I saw him, he was over there. And she just kind of looks 11. And points.
No, we know he stays at the Love Inn. I mean, that's. I was just wondering if he was in.
You mean he was in here? He comes in here every day. He tips well too.
Good. Well, I give her $5 for my cup of coffee and whatever he wants.
What do you want?
Coffee.
That's. It's like 50 cent coffee. Or 10, it's probably
it's like 10 cents, yeah. All right, lads. And she goes and gets the big globe of coffee and pours. Anything else?
No, that's it. Have a good day.
Dogs off. All right, action's on you all.
I think we go give Mariah, can you take us to see your dad?
You go outside?
Yeah.
So you go outside where Mariah and Simon are. Fold arms, leaned up against the Buick, like Dean Martin.
Okay. I am going to spend a narrative point to say that as we go into the Love Inn, the guy behind the counter is, say, 60-ish, 60s, and he kind of remembers Mariah.
Ooh, okay.
It's one of those things where he's like, that little girl, what's your name? And he's trying to remember because he's noticed and paid attention, but he's also old.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Nord, when you come out and ask Mariah, she goes, okay. And you guys walk up to the Love Inn. And when you walk in, you see this 60-some-year-old guy. Oh, I know. Oh, what's her name? I know you, sweet thing. And she goes, oh, come on, you don't know my name. And they have a whole scene, and it's really cute. What can I do for her, gentlemen?
We're bringing her back to her dad. Is he? Do you know, is he here?
His eyes look up. Hi, hello.
I'm going to say hi.
He is here.
He
looks down at Mariah. There's sort of a look on his face. It's not really obvious what he's thinking.
Is he indisposed at the moment?
He's been in his room all day.
Alone.
Number 13.
We know where she is, man.
Roll, or not roll, what do you bid?
Me?
Yeah. You're like, oh,
I will
no.
bid, I'm gonna bid, sorry, this one's...
Tony, are you just standing there at the door?
No, I'm standing beside Simon, and I say, Simon... Number 13. Yes, it is of the devil. But we can take care of that.
You know, they don't have 13th floors in a lot of buildings, guys.
I'm gonna be observant.
You see on the little check-in book, since it's, you know, early 80s, he's checked in. It's been last night late. And he hasn't left. And you see the room number is 13. There's no other check-ins beside his name.
Okay. Well, we just don't want to disturb him if he's on a business deal or something. And I wink at the old guy.
The old guy nods back. I mean, you're welcome to your friends, family. Of course, you can go and see if he's home.
Thanks. And I'll start to head back. Come on, Mariah.
Okay. As you guys start heading back.
Mariah, we good? Should we know anything before we go in? Or is everything okay?
Like what?
I don't know. Just check to see if we're... Cool. Maybe you should knock on the door.
She kind of stops and looks up. I mean, what would I know?
I don't know.
She just shakes her head. Tony and Simon, you see this engagement with Mariah and Nord. And it's like a Scooby-Doo moment. where this like 10-year-old, 11-year-old is talking to a grown man, but there's no difference. And she's like, what? And they kind of argue.
Lead the way.
I'll go.
Lead the way, BB.
And she leads the way very confidently, overly confidently. And she goes up to the door. Dink, 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 dink. You see the 13, the 3 goes when she knocks on it.
Oh, shit.
Nord, as you had bid Scent of Colors earlier, There's a smell of brine in the air.
Uh-oh. Oh, hey guys, we should back off a little bit. Mariah, why don't you get behind Simon?
Why would I get behind Simon?
Because Tony. I think it's a good idea.
Fine, as she does. Tony, you can bid or throw down.
I am going to bid. Let me pull up my character sheet here.
This would be to see something, to perceive something, specifically because you have delved into the dark and the deep poetry.
Then I will bid priest.
As Mariah moves away from the door, it's almost as though something burns into the door. A weird symbol. It's very circular in pattern, has like some squiggles. It looks like the Sumerian you've seen, and it's this large burn mark. And as it encompasses the door, around the edges of the door, you see all of these runes cover the mantle and then light up in red, blood red light, and then fade away.
I look at Tony and I said, or I look at Nord, and Tony says, I think I saw the runes.
Neither one of you saw any of this.
No, I smell it.
But the
smell something's off.
Is off.
That it's like whatever cologne those guys, that Old Spice, those dudes with the blue gloves wear. Like,
you get a pit for that. They all wear Old Spice. Ooh.
I'm going to pull out my lockpick.
You do. Simon. And,
well, first I'll try the door.
I'm going to pull my gun out.
Simon, as you check the door. Leah, will you roll me high or low? And Simon, will you call it?
High.
It is high.
It's unlocked. You do get the feeling there's something off. There's quiet, a disquiet. Also, you're flanked by these two dudes, and as Nord's like pulls out a gun, the handle is unlocked. You can tell there's probably a chain or something.
Okay.
So you don't need the lock picks, but you can tell there's some sort of resistance. Maybe it's not a chain. Maybe it's something in front of the door.
I'm going to look both ways down the hallway.
There's nobody.
Nobody. And I'm going to... I've got the door open just a little bit. Mm. And then I'm going to... Real quick. Yeah.
We bid.
Strong.
Bidding strong. You bump the door. As the door goes... And opens up. Almost too fast. Like, too fast for how hard you hit it. As it... goes to the wall, and there's a moment where all of you seeing this, you're waiting for the slam, but there's no slam. The door just goes away and like disappears in darkness. And in the room, it's almost completely black. You can barely make out the floor. There's a bed, maybe just the outline. The room seems rather large, long. And the angles seem a little bit off. There's a chill and a smell of the sea. The far end, 20-ish feet from you, it's a long window that has these blackout curtains. You can just barely see around them. Looks like there's a figure standing at them. It's hard to tell if the figure is facing you or not, but it looks like a man. Medium build. Head kind of tilted down. Arms at the side. What do you guys do?
Marcus.
The head kind of tilts up. Daddy, you hear Mariah say.
Tony, do you still have my flashlight from the car?
Yes.
To turn it on, then.
I flip on a flashlight.
As you take out the flashlight and turn it on, show it at the door, it flickers and turns off.
Someone don't like flashlights.
There's almost like a breath. What'd you all do?
I'm going to first off.
The lights in the hallway start flickering. And then
pull
at the ends, coming to you, starting to go out.
I'm gonna bid hide.
Where do you hide?
I hide behind the side of the door outside.
As you, huh! You notice.
And I pull light Mariah along with me.
As she's shaking. What's going on?
I don't know, but this isn't good.
You notice down the hallway where the light is from the windows and the lobby, which is, you know, a little bit of ways, seems to darken like clouds are coming.
I'm going to reach into my pocket and grab the slapjack. Marcus, your daughter's out here. Knock it off. You're making her scared.
The light's still turning dark as you see his eyes open because there's a red, sullen light emanating from them.
You guys have got me seeing shit now, too.
As he opens his hands and you feel and hear this creaking noise.
Get out of there.
Around the sides of the door, you see cracks as the doorway is starting to pull into the room, and you feel yourself kind of being pulled in a weird magnetic fashion, starting to feel compelled to walk in. Actions on you.
I'm gonna grab Simon.
I'm gonna bid resilient to start to push my way away from the door, back down to the lobby.
You do, as you move back, immediately feeling better. Tony, what about you?
I guess I'm going to attempt to walk out as well.
What do you bid?
I bid
subscribe.
I bid hardened.
Bidding hardened, you steel yourself and shake your head and move, start to move away as Mariah pulls free from you, Nord. Daddy! And runs.
I grab
making
her.
A beeline. What do you bid?
I'm going to bid guarded. No, I'm gonna bid connections because I've made a connection with her. And so, like, because Nord was pulling her away and they were in front of me, as she starts to run, I'm going to scoop her up and be like, he's not your daddy anymore.
Throw down. Threshold for this is very high. Now,
Nord could
aid, absolutely. What do you bid and what aspect do you give him?
I'm going to bid my jiu-jitsu.
And Tony, you could do it as well. The threshold for this is 5.
Is this grace?
Whatever grace. You want.
Because I'm.
Yep.
I'm grace moving, fine. Sweeping her up is what I'm assuming.
Yep. Threshold is 5. If you fail, by 2 or more, then she just ducks. She jukes you through your legs, and she's gone. If you just fail, she's halfway in and halfway out.
That's a D8.
Yep, you get a D8 from Nord. And Nord, what did you bid to do this?
Jiu-jitsu and grace.
Okay, so that's...
Did you see Nord do like the Jenga real quick? And like grab on.
I will bid season.
And what aspect do you give him? You've dealt with children trying to get to their parents across the border. You know how to stop
Mommy,
that.
grab a bite. I will give him my mind. That's a D6.
All right.
D6.
Make that throwdown.
Okay.
Limbo will be you kind of go in the room a little bit too.
Okay. I'm going to do.
And we'll say since everybody's jumping in on this, the limbo will mean everybody kind of goes in the room a little bit
too. Okay. That's three.
Don't lose, Lee's daughter.
I had my slapjack out, so
yep.
I can bid it.
Just you would, like, it was... hit her with it?
Well, I had it in my hand.
Yeah, so... but do you hit her with it?
No, I'm not.
Are you using it? I mean, you could use it somehow. You, like, bite it.
Yeah, I had my pistol out as well, but I didn't pistol whip.
I'll bid flask. When this started to go down, and I was like telling him to knock it off. I took a sip from the flask.
Yep. Yeah, we'll say that whiskey tastes a little weird.
Okay. And then we'll do
like and subscribe. Follow us. We're looking for 100 followers on the Twitch.
Or maybe 10.
Or maybe 10. Yeah, we need.
How many
10
do we
more.
Have? We need 10 90. More.
Yeah, we need 10 more.
We have 90. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we don't need 100. We just need 10. So
yeah, we need
your 10. Mom. You got a mom.
Yeah.
Everybody
you
has
got a mom.
Most, a lot of people have moms.
Tell your mom to follow.
Mariah has a mom.
Like, Mariah has a mom.
And Mariah's mom cares about Mariah. If you care about Mariah.
If you care about Mariah.
I care about Mariah, and she's not even, like,
real.
She's just.
I've used 2 ninja gears and 2 proficiencies.
You can use as many proficiencies as you want. You also have abilities you can use too. If it applies.
No, because I've got master at arms and small arms. So
small arms wouldn't help you at all. Because you need big arms.
Yeah.
Alright.
Let me I'll do.
You got breath.
Go okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me
10 more followers. That's all we need. And then we'll be 10. Complete.
Okay. I am I have used all of my proficiencies and I am at limbo. 2, 3, 4, 5 successes. An 8, 2 4s and a 7.
Alright, so what we're gonna do, we're gonna give you a chaos die if you want. Now here's the thing. If you roll a 1 on it, it's an automatic utter failure.
No, I will stick at limbo then.
But if you that still gives you a 50% chance to get a success and like a 20% chance of just failing, in which case nothing happens. Like an 18-19% chance of utter failure.
Right. But I don't want to lose Mariah.
All right.
So I will take damage or whatever, and not
as Mariah runs by and she's buttered up or something. As she slips through Tony's fingers, Tony, you kind of trip forward. Nord, you do this jujitsu move, but Mariah kind of jukes and giggles as you fall over sideways, but you grab onto her. Simon, you grab onto her, but her momentum and Tony falling forward like dominoes, you all fall into the room about halfway, but you have Mariah in your arms, Simon. Right behind you, Nord is holding on to your lapel, and Tony... you've sort of fallen into the door jam as well, as you're about halfway in, halfway out. It is ice cold in here. You hear a voice. All the outside sound goes away. It's almost like a rushing sound. It's hard to place at first. And then you realize it's the sound of water, like a flash flood building. As you guys look up and you see Marcus standing there, dripping in seawater. His eyes, they're not glowing, maybe, but they're completely bloodshot. There's some blood. There's some black veins. He looks like he's been drowned, perhaps. As he opens his mouth and water spills out, and he reaches out toward you. You've finally come. And that's where we're going to end. Leah, we will start with you next. It's just that scene requires more than like 3 or 4 minutes. And because you're alone, like that's, you know, that's a good 20 minute scene that you got yourself into. Interesting game, y'all. Interesting ways of going. I like it. I think it's good. Okay. Wrapping up. Hey, everyone. This is the Red Writ.
The Red Writ.
The Red Writ. If you haven't liked what we've got going on, that's okay. Fuck off. If you do like it, like, subscribe. It helps us out. Order a book. Dreadlore.com. What? Go to the Dreadlore.com. Tune in to the Dreadlore.com website and find everything. The link tree. Want a big thanks to Couch Fire Media for all this awesome graphics and thisness in the media productions. Super thanks to All Lowercase Letters and Mr. Interrupt for the music. Also, shout out to the Patreon peoples, Mr. Daniel Holker, Mr. Tim Roberts. We've regeared the Patreon to directly benefit the podcasting that we do. We jump on every Monday at 7 p.m.-ish Eastern Standard. After this podcast live stream, we will do the After Hours live stream, which usually lasts forever, but we try to make it go about 20 to 30 minutes. We talk about the game. We talk about what just happened.
That's a lie.
We talk about politics. We talk about everything.
Yeah, it's about it's a 4 hour long podcast.
It's a 4 hour podcast. It's podcast. So good. It's
I just want to also say one more shout out again to the Neutral Morrison Institute of One Armed Root Canals.
Thank you so much for sponsoring us. Yeah, if you jump on the Patreon, there's a certain tier where Holker will lampoon you. He will make you a part of the the sponsorship. It's called the fake sponsor tier. And you will, in fact, be sponsoring the show so that we can upgrade our equipment and everything and actually help us out, keep this thing going.
If Holker ever had a podcast where all he did was, like, take people down, like, I would subscribe, like, and share the shit out of that.
Yes. Yes, you would. And so would I, damn it. All right, we'll be back next Monday with... Which episode is it?
Episode 12.
Episode 12 of the Red Writ. And the following week, we have a special surprise. So we'll see you then. Here in about, 10 minutes, we'll do After Hours?
After Hours.
All right, so we'll be back in about 10 minutes.
We'll be back.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay around.